Sometimes I kind of feel like those old-timey cartoons that we used to watch when I was a kid. There's always the young men, the hero, and the villain. And, of course, the female. And right there, even when they got old, the bad guy was like going to snatch the girl away and run. And she was screaming for help, and he's up on his cane. He said, I'm a coming. It sometimes seems like the best we can do. If you look into the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1, says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just hold that thought. Turn to 1 John. 1 John starts off, that which was from the beginning. Oh, what would John be talking about in the beginning? Okay, the Word. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we've looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. The life that was... The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life which is with the Father, which is made manifest to us. That we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you, and so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Okay? So what is he taking joy in, do you think? He's taking joy in the fact that these things come together to make it complete. And then the next little section of scripture in 1 John is walking in the light. And everybody, I suppose, could quote this one, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We say we have no sin. What does he say? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's pretty straightforward talk right there. Walking in the light was always one of the hardest concepts for me to come up with. Of course I walk in the light, daytime, you know, and it never didn't sink in for a lot of years. But now, according to John, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Remember when you were a child and somebody would tell you something, sometimes it was incredulous, and sometimes they were just pulling your leg, and sometimes it was just ignorance on their part. But when you're that little on the playground, and you look it up and you say, how do you know? Well, get a little older and you get to questioning what some people tell you. Can't remember that they put on Facebook. I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it was like entirely stupidly not scripture. And sometimes you run into that. You know. So John says here, my little children, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him, but whosoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this way we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. So, you look up and you say, well, how do you know? There it is. It's what you do with what you know. He is the propitiation for our sins and for the world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And I'm going to tell you kind of the theme here in my lesson tonight is, how do we know? How do we know? And the answer is, we keep his commandments. It's a pretty simple thing. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? If you don't keep the commandments, what does that imply? You don't love me. That's simple. Okay? Keeping the commandments. I would like to point out, I'm always arguing with my childhood when I do this. I would like to point out that, you know, in spite of all the philosophical things that Calvin wrote, and that's why I consider them to be, I don't think they're true scripture, but Calvin was basically, once you're saved, you're always saved. Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and we know this if we keep his commandments. There's so many ifs. It's contingent upon us. It's contingent upon, you know, salvation is contingent on a whole list of things that they don't ever go into when they say faith only. As a matter of fact, they're denying most of them. But anyway, the contingency here is, how do we know? We know that we do obey. And when we, I read that too fast. We know. I know. I speak for myself. I know when I am being obedient. And I know when I am not. And I know when I take the reins in my own, the bit in my own teeth, and virtually I'm uncontrollable until I stop and think, this is not obeying his command. This is not the command that Jesus gave us. The other contingency in the whole thing is obedience. How do you know? How do you know that you're in Christ? The foundation commandment that came from Peter in Acts, he said. The crowd said to him, sirs, what must we do? What did he say? Repent and be baptized. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That, to me, is because if you look in Matthew 14, I believe it is, the keys to the kingdom were given to Peter. And the next time he opened his mouth that he didn't get his foot in it, he said, what shall we do? We can't be baptized. That was a key, kingdom key speech right there. That's it. So we obey. And if you look at verse 7 right here, and no, that's the wrong one. Oh, I have to pick the chapter now. But no, it's 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. 3, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason, and this is kind of key here, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. What's that? Evil. He's been sinning since the beginning. And he goes on and said, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. Practicing righteousness. How is it? I've got a little tune I made up in my own head one day, and I was always disappointed nobody wanted to publish it. Anyway, how do I walk the walk that Jesus walked? How do I talk the talk that Jesus talked? How do I know which way to go? The Holy Spirit tells me so. He speaks to me from Scripture every day. And then I ain't going to sing this. I ain't going to force you all to hear that. Love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I didn't get them in the right order. I could if I sang it. And that's basically it. You practice righteousness. You practice doing what Jesus did. You practice saying what Jesus said. And hopefully, I'm saying hopefully for myself, because it sometimes slips a cog in the gear, but hopefully you come to think that way of you in yourself. In yourself, in your own mind. Your mind seeks to be like Jesus. Your mind seeks to walk like he did and to talk like he did. Now, does that mean I'm going to go out and buy a long flowing robe and some sandals and go around trying to be a carpenter? Well, that wouldn't do so good. Bob Angel here snickering at me. Yeah, I've seen your carpenter. But anyway, I did build one thing to hold our chicken water roots, and that turned out pretty good. So I'm calling that a successful career. Anyway, the last thing I had besides the righteousness, and it's not the last thing, it's the last thing I have. He abides in us in verse 23 and 24. I don't know why I didn't write down the chapter names. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him, and by this we know that he abides in us, in the Spirit whom he has given us. He goes on later in chapter 4, and I'm going to read this part. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God is made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, how do you say, how do you know? Where's the argument, I say? I write these things to you who believe in the name of Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we speak anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever he asks, we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So that's my version of how do you know? Yeah. And it's really not that difficult a concept to understand. You have to help people get past this Calvinistic outlook that once you're saved, you're always saved. And I think we know enough and have read enough scripture to know that it's probably not a good, safe place to put your bank account. So anyway, anyone that confesses Jesus is the Son of God. I didn't read that. Confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know, believe, as there are a lot of instances, and really that's what was driving this, because a lot of people I know accept this. Would sit in front of me crying. Begging me to give reassurance that they're going to heaven. Of course, I can't. It's not given to me. As a matter of fact, I want you to know that there are people in this world who should be eternally grateful every day they wake up that I'm not the one who says whether they go to heaven or not. Because I will freely admit, I occasionally have had different destination in mind for certain people. Would not have been entirely adverse to helping them on their way. But we have overcome the world. We've overcome that kind of thought process. And how do we know? Because if you overcome, you do something different. You win. You're not bound back. You're not tied down by this sin, by grief. How do you know? You obey. I'll beg your indulgence, because it's like being parole officer. How do I get through parole? You do what I tell you, when I tell you, and tell I tell you. Pretty much, it's that simple. And so Jesus, John here is saying, in regards to Jesus, if you love Jesus, obey his commands. If that's giving you reason to think, or to examine, or anything else, if there's anything that we can do for you, this would be the time, as we stand and we sit.